This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, what do you call it, Kramer?
The billiard room.
No.
The name.
The billiard. Not billiard. What? Not the billiards. It was... Come on, Rudy. What? Come on. We call it the
place to
be. The place to be. Yes, it's the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
This is the place to be here tonight.
Time to play the game.
Party people in the place to be. Uh-huh. It's about that time.
Place to be nation. Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Actually, it's being John Akiyama is a better version of it.
What do you think, Woodley? You can finally tell Grant Owens you found new music.
I'll tell you what, I am impressed. Mm-hmm.
Sharon Lois and Bram, skidamarinky-dinky-dink.
Yeah.
Skidamarinky-do.
Hey, Nate, man, this is pretty much a highlight of my life right now. I had no idea you were going to be here. I wanted to drive that freaking ho train of my whole youth. You're the man.
And I thought he meant Nate Milton, the Godfather from Kings of Sport. Do you really think that's the Godfather?
Yeah, I did.
All you have to do is break out that fuck money.
I ate the pie. Watch your mouth, you scraggly Canadian.
That's a bit much. You, who murdered the dog with the sword, and I'm being a little too much.
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. 5 years! 5 years! We've been doing podcasts. And we have this. This is trash.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your host, Just Rosero, coming at you here on this Monday evening, and Scott Criscola. It's not just any Monday evening, of course, we are celebrating our sixth birthday here of the Place to Be Nation, Place to Be podcast. How are you, sir?
Hey! I was going to do the Jordan Duncan open. JR, always a pleasure, sir. Welcome, Place to Be Nation, to episode 437 of the Gold Standard. And yeah, JR, I cannot believe that it is 6 years now. Mm-hmm. We always talk about when we do the episodes in hundreds, mm-hmm. You know, two bills through coming soon, five bills. But 6 years. 6 years.
It's a long time.
It's a long time. We better get a big fucking trophy. Yeah, can't believe it, JR. 6 years, man.
Almost to the night. So it was February 11th, 2011, episode 1 aired. And then 2 nights later, actually, on the 13th, so that would be 6 years ago tonight, episode 2, the MLB offseason breakdown.
Which is still the longest podcast in the history of this website.
I don't think so. It seemed long at the time, but it's probably like a third length of Between the Sheets. You know what I mean? Like, it's actually not that bad. But at the time, it seemed absurd.
Between the Sheets.
Especially the topic, which was immediately dated. But, you know, we were learning. Getting the kinks out, and then we did WrestleMania 1, and then WrestleMania 2, of course, with our buddy that we may be hearing from tonight. The word is out; he's lurking somewhere. So, Mr. Matt Rotella, of course, he was in a couple early. He was on a headlines, and then he was at WrestleMania 2, and we still get hate mail. I'm going to bring that up with him tonight. That we still get. I mean, literally, someone the other day on Twitter commented that he's looking forward to us doing these 85s and 86s and hopefully not having him back on. I mean, six years ago.
That's terrible.
Someone that we never get hate mail about, though, someone that we get love bombs from left and right is our guest tonight. And we're having him on because, obviously, he's been a listener of the show for quite a long time, was one of the founding fathers of PlaceToBeNation.com. He's done his own podcast, flowering since he discovered us. And, of course, he's also the staff historian. So he's important to have on shows like this because he pretty much remembers our catalog off the top of his head without even having to look anything up. And that is Mr. Chad Criscola. From Norwalk, Connecticut. Mr. Chadley Campbell, how are you, sir?
Oh, my God.
I would love to be related to Chad.
I'm so used to hearing Chad Criscola from Letters from Cave Room.
Let's talk about Salvatore Sincere, please. My favorite wrestler.
It just comes out so naturally now. Chad Lake Criscola from Norwalk, Connecticut. All right, so welcome, Chad. How are you?
Hello, guys. I'm actually surprised there was an episode two because it sounded like Justin got kidnapped and was scared for his life on episode one.
So. Oh boy, I still remember being like hunkered down in my bedroom, like just like shivering, really, not knowing what to do.
I was, oh my god, a different coffee table ago for me, different.
Talking about
my, God, what the hell was I talking in episode one? Did I have my headset yet?
I think a tin can and some string from the sound.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was my first laptop. I think I was talking into it.
We talked about Jerry Sloan. We talked about the lockout. WWE Channel. Of course, not quite the network yet.
Yeah. Channel.
If you remember 2/21/11, that big tease that many thought maybe Sting. Right. We talked Jersey Shore. I think we talked Denver Nuggets for some reason, too. I remember being on there.
Nuggets. Is that Melo being traded, maybe?
Yeah, probably. It might have been. I remember talking about Melo.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we talked a lot in episode two about the defending world champion at the time, San Francisco Giants, mm-hmm. and their offseason. Of course, they would go on in our six-year run here to win two more world championships.
Yeah, and we have a lot of cool little facts that Scott's going to unload throughout the night here. Kind of mm-hmm. things, how they were 6 years ago and how they are now. It's funny because it doesn't seem like that long ago, but it is. It's quite a while. So we've packed 437 episodes into that time. We had quite the pace for a while, Scott. We were doing two a week pretty religiously. Yes. Obviously, over the last 2 years, just you know, lives and jobs and kids have kind of slowed us down. But for a while, we were cranking. We were about as regular as it gets. And we're still pretty regular, just not as regular as we had been. With that two a week, we were banging out a headlines and a pay-per-view Vintage Vault pretty much weekly. Mm-hmm. Chad, when did you first like find us and what was the, do you remember the first episode you heard?
Yeah, first episode I heard was over a year after y'all had started. It was WrestleMania 12 with Graham. And it was really happenstance how I first found you guys because it was on a Death Valley Driver message board. Where somebody said, you know, I think they said they were tired of listening to The Art of Wrestling with Colt Cabana and what are some other podcasts that people listen to. And I can't even remember the poster that said it, but the first, one of the first posts in said, you know, place to be, guys, they're going through all the WWF pay-per-views chronologically. And I thought to myself, I was like, oh, that's a really neat idea, so let me check it out. And I remember, like, my first impression when I listened to that first podcast was like, Criscola and Rosero have to be the most Italian-sounding names I've ever heard. Like,
that guy that told you about us, we probably banned him like a year later. So.
Yeah, it's like you just listen to these two Northeast blowhards, you know, talking about the WWF. But yeah, so kind of blossomed from there. And then I listened pretty much regularly from then. I didn't jump into the discussion till after y'all's podcast with me and Barb, but was listening steadily from there and then went back and listened to the back catalog.
It's funny, too, when I think of, like, the tech from those early days. Tech in quotes, like, you know, we were pretty early in. I think we were pretty early adapters when it came to the podcast genre. I mean, there were ones out there, but it wasn't nearly as prevalent as it is today. Like you said, I mean, yeah, Cabana was out there. I remember the Smart Wrestling Fan podcast, which I think may still be going. The Law was really, I think, one of the biggest ones. I don't think that many wrestler ones had even really started yet. Like, Austin hadn't started yet, I don't think.
Nope.
Yeah. JR, I don't think, had started doing anything. You know, mm-hmm. he had done, like, maybe a little audio stuff. Have Meltzer even started a podcast? I know he's doing radio, like his radio hits on the site. I don't know if he had done, like, podcast form yet.
Yeah, so I would say, like, when y'all started, the saturation was pretty small as far as, you know, kind of just two guys. You know what I mean? Like, you didn't have the Law behind you for Wade Keller's podcast or Meltzer and Alvarez. You have to pay for it, a pay site. Or, you know, Colt Cabana, he's a famous wrestler. So as far as, like, your kind of mom and pop type podcast, with decent sounded production, you know, pretty early on. I mean, the first episodes are what they are, but I think y'all developed a pretty good groove once Scott got a headset. And from there, the production improved and, you know, sounded professional to a degree, except when El Gigante came running into the proceedings.
The best part, too, about those early Gigantes is in my old house. For a long time, I recorded in my living room, and we had a cape, so it was all like the bedrooms are right next to the living room. So my wife would go in the bedroom to watch TV on those nights, and I'd be out there in the living room. I mean, she could hear pretty much everything I was saying. So all those early Gigantes were like, you know, she pretty much heard everything. And then finally she banished me up into the upstairs, and I was in this like sweltering hot box in this one room in the corner. And that's where I did a ton of episodes after, was up in that little room at a craft desk that she had with a big bar chair. That's where I would sit and pretty much record when she kicked me out of the living room.
Mm. I totally forgot about that sweat box, too. Yeah. That's right.
It was hot in the summer episodes. I remember just sweating my ass off while we were recording. But it was fun. I mean, it was cool. Like you said, it was pretty unique at the time. There wasn't a lot out there. And production-wise, we didn't edit anything in for the first year. It was all the music, all the ins and outs, the break, we played just off my phone. And we never even stopped because we didn't know how to put two segments together as an, you know, editing-wise. So if for some reason, like, we had a tech issue when I first got the mic and all those times, we would just post them as like three parts.
Yeah. But, Royal Rumble 95.
Yep. That one's in three parts. So it's like, very rarely do we stop. So, I mean, Scott, we were doing like 2.5 hour episodes without pausing. I mean, we would just go and play any hits off the phone and just we had a plan up front and just rolled through, and then we'd post it from there. But I remember even like Podbean was way behind the times early on. I remember it would take forever to upload the fucking shows. I'd be sitting there for like an hour waiting for the file to upload. It may part was my internet, but I think part was the site not being completely streamlined to like handle that level of file yet. And maybe our files are a little bit bigger too. So, but I definitely remember there were nights just waiting and waiting, and it would fail, and I want to punch a hole in the wall. I just want to go to bed so bad. And I just wanted to shout out, Scott, I know kind of your thoughts in the early days, but our buddy Jay Hunter, who was a really big part of the early days. You may know him from the OSW podcast family. He was a big part of teaching me kind of, you know, how to socialize, where to post it. He had us actually posting the files on Facebook for a while, so you could actually listen to them on our Facebook page. He had taught me how to embed them there, helped a lot like graphic wise and socializing. So he was a big part of the early days. We had met each other, I think, through the law message board and then just through Facebook. And of course, LaRue, Sugar Tits Derek LaRue, big part as well. He would make all of our opens in his radio studio, and then he also helped with some of the editing when we needed to early on. And then when he ruined episode 100 is when we went rogue, and I learned how to finally – that's what finally did it. After episode 100, he did a run-in with this awful audio clip thing, and it screwed up the whole call we had going on. And so I had to self-teach how to edit and put everything together, and that's when we started to kind of do everything ourselves.
Yeah, I remember that. We did some stuff. When I was working part-time down the street here at these radio stations, I used the studio in there sometimes. I remember Royal Rumble 95. The reason that's three parts is, didn't you get a new – was you didn't have a Yeti yet. You had something.
No, I just got a Yeti.
Yeti.
And the cord like kept on coming out or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it was. I remember that. It was during Christmas. I remember having my tree up, and I remember us doing that. And it was – not only was I frustrated about the quality of the show, but that we actually – that we had to do it in pieces. But, we had a little team, like an early, like, grassroots effort those first 100 episodes. And then, yes, when LaRue decided to Max Headroom us, like that 80s reference, we realized we needed to kind of, you know – go off into the wild blue yonder and learn our way.
Well, I think it grew beyond what we thought, because originally we were just kind of, I think, assuming our message board would be the audience, you know, and then we knew we were running it on Graham's site as well, but I don't think we realized kind of the breadth of it until people started popping up. I mean, there are some that jumped in earlier still, like D'Amato was like in at the very beginning. I remember hearing from him really early on, you know, and Hinchy, and, you know, all these guys were in there within those first 100. And then, of course, all the guys from, like, the CWO that were in early, but also that we knew beforehand. So that's, like, you know, Todd Weber and Glenn and Tim Capel and those guys listened to us pretty much from the start. And even Jordan and Reach, like, they were on early on, and Steve. But we were friends with them from the CWO message board. But it's guys like D'Amato and them, Austin Pfaff, you know, like, those guys were – we didn't know really before they found us on the podcast and reached out to us with feedback and whatnot. And even our old friend Rob Houston, my friend from high school, that still lingering out there somewhere. But he was a big force in that first season. But it was weird. It was definitely a weird time. And then, of course, we had some big interviews that first year, too. John Walters, Eddie Edwards, Stevie Richards. I think those are the three big ones in the first 100. Do you remember what was like the first interview you heard, Chad?
I think it was actually the Capetta one.
Okay.
I went back and watched that one or listened to that one just because, you know, that's a guy that was around for a lot, but you don't really think about, you know, many interviews with him. And it was really compelling. It was either that or the I'm pretty sure I was listening regularly when the Downtown Bruno interviews happened. And I like those too.
Yeah, because that had to be later because I remember being in my new house for those. So I think that was like summer.
I want to say like September, yeah. Maybe of 2012.
Yeah. That sounds all right. Because when did we do the Where the Big Boys Play? December of 12 with you?
Or yeah, that was 13? December break. Yeah, December break 2012. Yep.
Because I moved here in May of 12, so that makes sense.
Yeah, Scott, we were definitely in the man cave. What was it, Chad? Starrcade 88?
Yep, Starrcade 88.
Starrcade 88, that's right.
And it was around that
time.
I'm
looking at some of the – oh, good.
I was going to say around that time, too, was where we first found Kevin.
Yep.
Was right. In that time frame, too, where John Walters hooked us up and Kevin thought we were stalkers. now we're best friends.
yes.
And he's given a lot of time. And, Chad, I guess we could talk about the lost episode, right? The one night Scott was supposed to miss a Place to Be podcast. He had something going on. We had an interview set up with Kevin Kelly to do, was it 98 or 99, WWF?
I think it was 98, yeah.
And Chad pinch hit. We did the whole episode, and then I lost the fucking file. and we had to redo it a couple nights later. Kevin was gracious enough. And this is before we really knew Kevin, so I was like super nervous to reach out to him. And so, Scott, that's the last episode that Scott missed, but it never came to air because it's somewhere out there in the Dataverse.
So Fievel's got it somewhere out there. You know, it's funny. I'm going through our old board, Bigelow34.proboards.com, where we used to post our written reviews. And I'm looking at some names here, and I'm trying to remember who half these guys are. There was a guy, My Facts Are Right. I can imagine who that is. I think I have a feeling.
Yeah. We all know.
Then there was D-Ray. Oh, D-Ray, good grief. Used to call him assistant to the regional manager. That's what we used to call him. His nickname was the Meltzer of the Territory Wars.
Oh, Jesus.
Good fucking grief. Then there was Diddley. I'm trying to who the hell Diddley was.
I believe that was Travis Banks from CWO.
Yeah. Then there was SF Guy, Upper Mid Carter. I don't know who SF Guy was.
That was... I feel bad if anyone still listening. We're going to name and forget. I know who it is. I've drawn a blank on the name.
Yeah. Then there's, of course, our good – you know we haven't heard from him in a while? Our good friend Kieran Polland. We haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, I see him out there on Twitter every now and then.
Capo. Then there was Nick RJ. I'm just seeing the
Kieran's
handles
still
here.
In the Alive chat group, so may still listen.
Yep. The man with no name, head of Homeland Security. Was that Andy? Is that
no. Yeah, it might have been by the end. That might have been his name.
Then there was Edge 1217. I'm just trying to remember. Bigelow 34. Sabres Buffalo. I think I know who that is. Chachins. Who was Chachins?
I don't know. He was big in the Territory Wars, I think.
Yeah, Territory Wars guy.
Big Territory Wars guy. Oh, my God. Yeah, just so that these guys were like, oh, I don't know. Oh, man, this guy was like Hinch when it came to the reviews. He did like match by match, like super long paragraphs. Then there was Balls Mahoney. That must have been
that was
Andy.
Yeah.
That was Andy. Chris Mania. Was that Zellner?
I think it's a K or a C.
It's a K.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe. I don't know.
Who was the Rush guy? Moving Pictures 2112. There's an interesting one. MCC 91. Habs fan 1981.
Yeah.
Is that Aaron?
Well, MCC is Matt McCullough.
That's right. Habs fan 1981. Is that Aaron?
I don't know if Aaron was on the board, was he?
I don't know. Habs fan is obviously, I don't know, it's a reference to the Montreal Canadiens, so I assumed it was him. Anyway,
that might be Poirier.
Oh, yeah, it might have been Poirier.
Oh, it might be Poirier. That's a good.
That's who it is.
Yeah, that's a
I
good
can't wait too. To see Poirier in Orlando. My spirit animal is going to be there.
That's right.
Slamming beers. Him and Nick Duke need to, like, have a drink-off.
I think the world may, like, implode upon itself when they're sitting there hammering beers together.
Oh my God! Then there's Ashley Cruz. We got to give credit to him. GWP Bam. Just looking at some of the guys.
It was actually Heather C. and Ashley Cruz originally. Remember, they shared their account. It was very
confusing.
That's
right. Yeah, I thought y'all had a good female beer. Yeah.
No, just fucking Ashley Cruz.
No, Ashley Cruz.
Oh God.
So anyway,
some of the other early guys. You know, like what's his name? We had Jeremy Nichols. His sordid past. Oh God, yeah, it's amazing how like the, you know, the guys have. I mean, of course, we still have our foundation guys like Greenhouse. Greeny's been here since practically the very beginning too. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually looking at our. I have in front of me on my desktop the WrestleMania 29 tailgate picture, and I'm looking at guys. You know, Brad's not in this picture. Maybe the Christmas episode's true.
He wasn't there. I'm telling you, I don't remember him ever coming.
There's Brad. Brad,
is he really not in that picture?
No, I just know. I just caught him. He's too. Oh. He's too. He's
probably
between,
crapped himself in.
He's between. Creep. He's between you and Greeny and some bald guy with a mohawk. I don't know who that is, but oh my God, look at some of these pictures. There's D'Amato. There's Chad. Chad and D'Amato on the periphery.
Chad with the dock button down. All right. And so all right. I want to play a little game, Chad. I'm going to tell you a name of an episode. Do you think you can tell the number of the month?
Oh God. Maybe. I'm pretty rusty, though.
Headlines. No, I'm kidding. Suburban Commando. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I know that one. That one's probably, I'm going to guess, January 2nd, 2013.
Jesus. January 5th, 2013, episode 187.
Yeah. Wow.
Machine. All right, let's try this one. Let's do a couple of these, Scott, and then we'll go to your... stuff here. All right, how about our
honestly, everything post PTBN, it gets blurry.
Okay, well, I was going after. Oh, we'll see. PTBN Summit, spring of 01. That was with Scott Keith, Matt Petticord, and our good buddy Will.
Oh God, I wouldn't even begin to know when that was. Let me think. I would assume y'all probably did it around the same time as the vaults. Let's go maybe November 2013.
Spot on. November 15th, episode 269. The one before was WrestleMania 17.
Yeah, I was nervous about that, but I figured around that.
How about this one? How about this one, Chad? In Your House, Cold Day in Hell.
Oh boy, that's probably I'll go June 2012.
August. August 27th, 2012, episode 155.
Embarrassing.
Nice.
So do you remember we used to do the Meet the Nation, episode 105, headlines of Meet the Nation? Hinchy was our first Meet the Nation.
Yeah.
I guess. He did a lightning round, talked wrestling, and then on that episode we also had Mr. Flanagan on to break down the Super Bowl. I believe that was when the Giants beat the Pats. And then we did some headlines and whatnot, so we'll see. Actually, I just lined up Mr. Flanagan and my parents for our annual or for our usual Patriots Super Bowl party gathering, because that's the crew. The Pats are 1-2 with that crew in the house, and they should have been 0-3 if the Seahawks ran the goddamn ball. But the two Giants games on this one have been Andy and my parents in my living room, so I lined them up tonight. So that's it. We're going to do it. We're not allowed to go out anywhere anyway, because none of us want to be around Patriots fans. So,
I think it's so bad.
All right, Scott, do you want to toss some facts at us for when? Basically, just kind of a, you know, whatever, that was then, this is now kind of thing. World, how the world was in February of 11 versus now.
Sure. All right. Well, in 2011, how much do you think a gallon of gas was, regular, unleaded?
I'm going to say it was, in 2011, $3.80.
Wow, not that bad. $3.17.
Okay.
Now, on average, it's about 219. So,
thanks, Obama.
I knew you were going to say that. The average salary, and now it'll be like $1.50. No, the average salary is $53,223 in 2011. It is now $55,775.
It's kind of sad. I think it'll go up a little bit more.
That doesn't keep pace with inflation.
Yeah, and a gallon of milk. In 2011, well, it's actually gone down. In 2011, it was $3.57 for a gallon of milk. Now it's $3.31.
We're going to make these cows the cheapest cows.
That's right. All right. Let's go to sports quickly. In 2011, here were the standings in the NBA in the six divisions. These were the teams that were leading their divisions at the time. And in February, I put – what was the date? I officially took February 11th. So the first day, the Celtics were leading the Atlantic at 38-14. Wow, they were that good in 2011. Uh-huh. I remember that. The Bulls were 35-16 and leading the Central.
I said, I think the Celtics lost to the Bulls in the playoff. Was that that year when they lost? But they had a really good series.
I think so. I think so. And then the
Celtics didn't make the finals. What was the last year they made the finals when they lost to the Lakers, right?
That was 2010.
They were the defending East champions. They won. The Lakers beat them in seven games.
So I think they lost to the Bulls this year, the year after that.
And in the Southeast.
Yeah,
in the Southeast division, the Heat were 39-14.
Well, we all know who won the NBA title that year, of course.
Yeah, the Big Mavs.
Yep.
My boys.
In the Northwest division, the Oklahoma City Thunder, 33-18, leading the Northwest. The Lakers led the Pacific, the defending world champs, at 38-16. And the San Antonio Spurs were 44-9. And leading pretty much all of the NBA. But, yeah, it was and that was the epic – that was another early episode of Place to Be Podcast because I went on that rant after the late – remember, that was the first mm-hmm. Armageddon rant when the Lakers got swept and Lamar Odom, like, cheap-fouled what's-his-face. It was Jason Terry, I think, with, like, 20 seconds left, and the Lakers were down, like, 30 or something, and he cheap-shot somebody.
One of the early great moments of Place to Be Podcast when your boy picked the Mavericks before the playoffs to win the title.
That's right.
Like a six seed too, weren't they, or something? They weren't even like a favorite team, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so either.
That's when the Thunder beat the Spurs, right? So everybody was jumping on the Thunder bandwagon.
Ha! Not this man.
No, the Mavs. I remember the Mavs were very good, and their record at the time actually was they were 37-16. They were seven games behind the Spurs.
Yeah, they beat. They were actually the third seed. They beat Portland, and then they beat the Lakers, and then they beat Oklahoma City 4-1.
Right.
They played Miami, and actually, yes, the Celtics actually beat. They swept the Knicks, and then lost to the Heat in five, and then the Heat beat the Bulls.
Okay.
The Bulls were the one seed.
They ended up having the best record, huh? Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I guess it wasn't too close at that time. All right. So that was in the NBA at that time. And, of course, again, the Mavs did win it. Happier times for me because let's move on to the frozen pond. Here were the standings at the time. There were three divisions as it is now. The Flyers led the Atlantic Division 36-13-5, 77 points. The Bruins led the Northeast Division 31-17-7, 69 points. The Lightning led the Southeast 33-17-5, 71 points. In the Western Conference, the Red Wings led the Central Division, 33-16-6. The Canucks, of course, led the Northwest with the best record, 35-11-9. And Dallas led the Pacific at 31-18-6. And, of course, JR, you knew what happened that spring. Our Bruins went on their epic run to the Stanley Cup Championship. So that was a great spring. Very good spring.
It was also the beer pong tournament spring. There was a lot went on in that first year of the podcast.
Yes.
I had my LASIK surgery, if you remember. That was a big thing in the first. I remember we recorded the night before, and I was wondering if it was like the last night I'd ever see. So that was that was going on at that point. There's a lot. It was a busy, busy time.
Scott's cruise.
That's right, Scott's cruise. CM Punk,
the cruise,
pipe bomb.
I missed the pipe bomb.
It was great.
That is hilarious.
The best part about my favorite part of all that is still that it was like a wretched stretch of wrestling that we were like doing headlines for. Just like after The Rock had come back at Mania and like that and the Sting thing tapered off post Mania until the pipe bomb was like fucking just awful. You know, it's some of the shit.
Like Capital Punishment or whatever.
Yeah, it was Cena and R-Truth. I mean, like his heel turn was cool, but that was about it. Like some of the stuff we were talking about was just morbid. You know what I mean? And then it's like then he goes away and like all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, and then Miz held the belt at Mania, and then they had the three way at Extreme Rules. Yeah, those pay per views in 2011. I don't remember any of that. Let me tell you something. I've been watching some past Rumbles, and that 2011 Rumble is like one of the most, which is of course the one that Del Rio won, is like one of the most uninspiring Rumbles. I'm so glad that was one Boston show that we didn't bother going to.
Well, that was the 40 man.
That just seemed like such an uninspired. Yeah, that was the 40 man.
Yeah.
Such an uninspiring show.
The finish is fun with Santino, but
yes, and then that was when Miz actually, And I forgot how heel Michael Cole was. That was like obviously the big run. Now, the Super Bowl, which was played the week before, JR, do you realize we could have had the exact same Super Bowl 6 years apart? Because the Super Bowl at the, then was the two losers of this year's conference championship. That was the year of the losers. It was the Steelers and the Packers. And it would end up actually being a pretty good Super Bowl game.
Yes, and, Scott, I remember because the Steelers beat the Jets. So I remember it very, very well. But one of my favorite ones actually came, was it a year later? It was 2 years later when the Pats lost to the Ravens. And that was another Falcons when they lost to the Niners. And we were recording that night. It was a Sunday night. And I remember we stopped to the podcast to play celebration when the Pats lost to the Ravens.
Yeah, that was SummerSlam 98.
There you go.
Yep. You know who was on SummerSlam 98? You know who our guest was?
Mr. Pfaff.
Sorry, Mr. Pfaff. What was the other one that we stopped, JR? Was it when the the Red Sox choked that last game and got the Rays into the playoffs or whatever it was?
Yeah, when Tampa – I guess Tampa beat the Yankees. The Yankees were big, and then they benched everyone, and Tampa beat them. And then the Red Sox lost to the Orioles. It was a great game.
Totally. They totally fell to pieces, yeah. I think we had a couple of World of Stanley Cup Finals games on back in that stretch. All right, let's go to some wrestling. Chad, you'll find this interesting. Here were all the champions at that time when we went on air on February 11th, 2011. I'll start with Ring of Honor, then go to TNA, and then I'll end with WWE. All right. Chad, and I know you don't fucking cheat. Who was the Ring of Honor champion on February 11th, 2011?
Go with Davey Richards or no?
Incorrect. A guy that's actually a WWE employee.
Tyler
right
Black.
Now. Wrong. Oh. Roderick Strong.
Hmm. Really? Oh yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yep. Roderick Strong was the. Ring of Honor champion. Did
Eddie win it after that?
No. Eddie won it like right around y'all's interview.
No, he lost it.
He had just lost it.
That's right. Yeah, he just lost it in June. I think he won it. Oh, yeah, it had to be right around. I think it was March because it was like an all-star extravaganza or Manhattan Mayhem.
Yeah, he came
on.
He won it
in March.
And then he came on like it was like the day after he lost it, I remember, because he was kind of faking
it
like being
June,
sad.
I think, or something like that at Best in the World. Yeah, because he loses it to Davey. That's right.
Yep. Who was the Ring of Honor television champion?
Oh, God.
Let's put it this way. He's there now.
Oh.
Jay Lethal.
Jay Lethal. Yeah, that's who I'd guess too.
A past Place to Be Nation, a Place to Be podcast guest alumnus, Mr. Christopher Daniels.
Oh, I was going to say J.J. Dillon.
Cheeseburger.
And the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. Who do you think?
Briscoes.
I'll just guess Briscoes.
two guys who are also currently WWE employees, the Kings of Wrestling, Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, who of course would eventually become Cesaro. So there were your Ring of Honor champions when we launched on February 11th, 2011. All right, let's go to
and then they
TNA.
Misused all of them.
Yes,
I know. I'm so sad. I know when Suburban Commandos episode was, but I have no clue.
All right, who was the TNA World Champion on February 11th, 2011?
Oh, wasn't that when right around when Jeff Hardy did his bullshit where he was drunk or whatever? Wasn't that in like March 2011?
I know it was in 2011. I don't think it was that early. It might have been later. Oh, okay. But the champion was Mr. Jarrett. Anderson.
Oh, say Jeff Jarrett. Ooh. It's another safe guess.
Just go with the favorite.
Yeah. Who was the...
See, 2011 is so weird because it feels so long ago, but it doesn't. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't seem like Anderson would have already been champion in 2011 there, but I guess...
I was not watching... I'm thinking back to what I was watching in 2011, and it was just old stuff. Yeah. I wasn't really keeping up with hardly anything then. That's right when I started doing, Death Valley Driver project. So I know I did the All Japan 80s set around that time.
Let me just go back. Let's backtrack real quick just to kind of give a frame of reference here. So as I said, now it's easy to figure it out with the Ring of Honor champion because their reigns were so friggin' long. Roddy had won it back on September 11th, 2000. Now, this is kind of interesting. September 11th, 2010, at Glory by Honor 9, he beat Tyler Black. And then Roddy lost to Eddie Edwards on March 19th, as you said, at Manhattan Mayhem 4. And then he lost. So JR must have been right after – it was late June, because on June 26th, he lost to Davey at Best in the World.
Davey. And Bret Hart and Dynamite.
Oh, Davey boy.
And then cares Davey about Davey. So June 2011, June 29th, we talked to Eddie Edwards.
Yes, and he lost on the 26th. Yeah. All right, the TV champion I had said was
by the way, night, June 26th, we were recording SummerSlam 1990 as he was losing the title, and that was the big Jim Duggan we're all still looking forward to Dust Night.
That's right. I consistently said plane in fucking traffic. So when I said, let's see, Roddy Strong had won it on, Christopher Daniels had won the Ring of Honor TV title on December 10th, 2010. And on that same night, June 26th, that Davey beat, Eddie, El Generico defeated, Christopher Daniels at Best in the World 2011. Of course, El Generico, was current WWE employee, Mr. Sami Zayn. So, and as for the tag straps, let's see. The tag team. Was the Pure title retired by then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
it was retired, right? Okay, yeah, so I won't bother looking for it then. The tag champions were – let me scroll here.
Won from the Briscoes, right?
They won it from the Briscoes way back on December 9th. They won it on April 3rd, 2010. The Briscoes, and they held it for almost an entire year.
I remember that because they lose it to Shelton Benjamin and Charlie Haas.
Yes, they lost to your
Atlanta. Yeah, they lost that in Atlanta. I saw that.
Yes, they did.
Live.
Honor Takes Center Stage Chapter 1.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
And then they held it for about 9 months, and then the day before Christmas Eve that year, they lost back to the Briscoes.
Because I'll never forget Cornette and Delirious, like, both were sitting in, like, the control pit right next to me at that show, and when World's Greatest Tag Team won, they like both lost their shit and were like high fiving and hugging and stuff. It's quite a scene.
So TNA, we mentioned the TNA World Champion. Let's see. It was Mr. Anderson, who had just won it a month before on January 9th at the Genesis pay per view. And he only held a JR 2 more days for while we were taping our epic. It was actually 6 years ago tonight at the Against All Odds pay-per-view. He lost, Chad, to Jeff Hardy. So was it Against All Odds, ladder match, Against All Odds 2011 that he was shit-faced? Was it that show?
Maybe.
Yeah. He only held it for 11 days. He only held it for 11 days, and on an Impact taping, he lost it to Sting. And then Mr. Anderson got it back, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right, the X Division. All right, who was the X Division champion at this time?
Suicide. That's who my guess is.
The answer is a guy who is also in Ring of Honor right now, at least last time I remembered. Mr. Frankie Kazarian was the X Division champion at that time. He had won it. Just a month before, also a Genesis. He beat Jay Lethal. He held it to till May 16th at an Impact Wrestling taping, where he defeated probably the perfect guy for the X Division, Abyss, because yeah. Abyss fits in the X Division. So, and then he lost it to Brian Kendrick. I don't remember him in TNA. That tells you how bad it was for me in 2011. I don't even remember Brian Kendrick in TNA. And who were the tag team champions, Chad, at that time?
I'm gonna go with Beer Money.
You I'm gonna say Rude Money, whatever the other team was that they had in the.
That's right.
The answer is indeed one of my favorite teams at that time, Beer Money, Mr. Rude and Mr. James Storm. So Beer Money was they were in Fortune. That was Flair's little group there, Fortune, right? Yeah, wasn't it Beer Money? Beer Money, AJ.
AJ in that fucking robe, which was a disaster. Yeah.
So, All right, now we'll make it easy. Chad, we'll start from the bottom, work our way up. Who was the Divas champion when we launched episode
God.
When we launched episode one. Who was the
Divas Champion?
Beth Phoenix is my guess, but I don't know.
No, well, I know she was at the end of the year because the end of 11 was that big picture.
Oh, is that when the picture? Okay.
I'm going to say, was Maurice gone by then? I'm going to say Maurice as Michael.
You're going to see Maurice. The answer is somebody who's actually still active right now.
Maria Kanellis.
No, actually, it was – she's not active. It was Eve Torres.
Huh.
Who won it at the Rumble. Who won it at the Rumble. She beat – it was a three-way involving Layla – fatal four-way between Layla, Michelle McCool, Eve Torres, and the defending champion, Natalya, who had won it at Survivor Series. Hmm. So that was the – that was the she was the Divas Champion, and she would hold it till the Raw in Bridgeport, which I don't know if I was that at that, but Brie Bella actually won it that night. And as you mentioned, JR, Beth Phoenix won it at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, I remember her being champion at the end of the year.
Yeah, Kelly Kelly. She beat Kelly Kelly. All right, guys, who was the – I lost my spot here. Who was the tag team champions? Remember, there was only one set of champions in 2011. And if you guys get this one, I will be very –
All right, hang on. Did you say one set or two set?
One set. There's only one set of belts.
Tag team champions. Hang on. I feel like I know this. It was.
Don't fucking cheat.
Let me type it out here.
I hear that.
It was.
I have no clue.
I feel like it was like. Right. Wasn't Carlito and Primo, was it, or whatever?
That's actually who I said I was going to guess was Primo.
You are incorrect.
Epico.
But just as fucked up a tag team. They won it on a Raw. They had won it on a Raw on December 6th, 2010 in Louisville, Kentucky. It was a fatal four-way. It was these guys, the defending champions, which were the Nexus. It was Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel. The other teams were Mark Henry. Listen to these two teams, the Usos, and this, listen to this team, Mark Henry and Yoshi Tatsu.
Jesus Christ, what an awful
Is it somebody from the core? Who the hell was in
there?
I don't know. I give up.
Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov.
Oh, that's right.
But you were close, Chad, because they lost to the core at Elimination Chamber on February 20th. That was Heath Slater and Justin Gabriel. So, yes, the tag team champions 6 years ago was Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov. All right, who was the U.S. champion?
Barrett?
No.
I almost guessed Del Rio still.
No. He is still with the company, but he is not active.
Corey Graves.
Yes, it's a foam belt.
Nigel. No, I don't know.
The answer is?
Goldust.
Daniel Bryan.
Huh?
Daniel Bryan won the belt. He beat Miz. Let me look.
See,
he beat Miz. Was it Hell in a Cell
right
or was it Night of Champions? I think it was Night of Champions, right?
Yeah.
He beat Daniel Bryan. He beat the Miz at Night of Champions in Rosemont, and he lost it on the March 14th, 2011 Raw to
Sheamus.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Daniel Bryan was your United States champion 6 years ago, the other day, 6 years ago on our anniversary. All right, who was the world heavyweight champion, the big gold belt that has since retired? But who had the big gold belt? This should be easy if you think. Think of the time of the year. It should be pretty easy.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Edge.
Yeah, it was Edge.
It was. Yeah, yeah, it was Edge. Edge had beaten remember he was stripped of the title from Vicky.
Yeah, Dolph.
Oh, God. Any of this fucking crap.
They had that match at Rumble. Yeah.
Yeah, he was stripped of the belt on SmackDown because he used the spear.
Yeah.
So she gave it to her boyfriend Dolph, and then Edge won it back at the Rumble in Boston. And of course, he kept it all the way to WrestleMania, where he beat Del Rio, and then he retired the next night. All right, who was the Intercontinental Champion?
IC champion was
still with the company.
I'm gonna guess. Oh, never mind. I was gonna guess Wade Barrett, but no.
Sadly, just equate him with any mid card title during this period.
Just throw him in there. Cesaro never had the IC, right? He was he wasn't even there yet.
I keep trying to think of WrestleMania 27, but none of these fucking championships were defended.
No, it wasn't. Wasn't Ray? Was it? No, he's not even with the company anymore.
No. Yeah, he is. He faced. Oh, Cody Rhodes. I'm gonna guess Cody Rhodes.
His knees were mush.
No, he's not with the company anymore.
The answer is Kofi Kingston.
Huh?
Ah,
jeez. Kofi won it on January 4th on a SmackDown in Tucson, and you guys were close. You laugh, but guess who beat him on March 22nd on SmackDown? Wade Barrett.
There you go. I figured it was coming soon.
I thought he was the champion at WrestleMania because I remember he coming out with the belt in that fucking 3-minute shit show multi-man match. Yep.
He would hold it until June, where he would lose it to Ezekiel Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Big Zeke.
Who would then lose it, Chad, to a guy you just mentioned a minute ago, Cody Rhodes. And remember, Cody held it all the way till Mania in Miami, where he'd lose to Big Show.
Yeah.
And finally, this is pretty easy. Who was the WWE champion?
That would be The Miz in a great feud with Jerry Lawler.
It was, yes.
And I'm not being joking. It was awesome. No. I love that feud. Yeah.
Of course, yes. He won it. Of course, he cashed in on Orton, right? Was it Raw? It was a Raw.
Yeah, it was Raw. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then he held it, of course, all the way, as I just mentioned, until Elimination Chamber.
Extreme Rules.
Extreme Rules, where Cena would beat him in a cage. Who the fuck was the third guy? Morrison?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was Morrison.
Was it Morrison? I think it was Morrison. You know, isn't it weird? You know why it's so cloudy in 2011? Because I've never said I'm a big fan, and I always do what I say it on Main Event, but it is weird to think back of life before Brock.
Mm.
I mean, it's been, what, 4 years now that Brock's been there?
Five.
And I can't think
almost
of
almost five.
Yeah, almost five. It's weird thinking of the company without him right now, even though he's not on all the time. Isn't that weird? 2011 was – you're right, JR, from like –
It was so bad. I think 10 to 11. I mean, you can even go back to 9. Like, the night after WrestleMania 25 until – and you can even lump 25 in there if you want. But the night after 25 until WrestleMania 27 to me is like – or until – I even said until Money in the Bank is like one of the worst stretches in WWE history. It's just so forgettable and so boring. And so it was just like, to me, the pit of the PG era. When you hear – like when people say today's the PG era, I don't agree. To me, that is like the pit of – PG era, misusing the handful of real talented guys they had pulled in from the indies because they didn't want to admit that they were taking guys from the indies, and having no depth because they had blown through a whole generation of guys that they never gave a chance to, that like 06, 07 crew, like Kennedy and all them, Morrison. You know, like by the time they got to this point, they were all kind of wasted. So I feel like it's such a forgotten blah time period because the guys that were on top for so long that took up all those spots were now finally gone, and there was no depth to replace them. And it was just the storylines were bland. Linda was going for the Senate seats, so like they were super, super, you know, antiseptic. And it was just very mundane week after week.
Mm-hmm. And what's funny is they could have had a great storyline in 2010 with the Nexus, and then
that was like one good night, you know.
Yeah, and then they just crapped all over it, and then it was. Let me ask you, Chad, thinking back, and I think, JR, we probably talked about this when we did our like WrestleMania preview back then. Was putting the belt on The Miz a mistake in hindsight, Chad, do you think?
It's tough to say because, I mean, like going into that match, he felt like a star just from the buzz in the arena and the video package and everything. But, I mean, that match was so bad because of the concussion. It felt weird, but I don't think it was a mistake. I mean, I think they needed to bring somebody else in because, you know, 2009 was when Orton and Cena had that endless feud with each other. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now Taker was being phased out, Triple H, you know, all these guys, Michaels had retired. So they really had to bring somebody up and might as well been The Miz. I mean, he was as good a pick as anybody, you know, probably behind Punk.
In retrospect, so to kind of tie this into, like, our first big headlines episode, in retrospect, would you have changed that 27 card and done Cena Rock, or did you like the one-year build? Would you have switched it to Miz Morrison and Cena Rock?
I mean, I think they definitely should have shot Cena Rock then, just because Rock coming back was such a big moment. almost think like if they could have held it off, you know, or jumped, you know, it's tough to say in hindsight, but I think you knew you had something pretty good with Punk at that time if you just would have went with him.
Right.
So even that as a choice seemed like a good choice too at the time. I mean, people were just clamoring for something to happen with him since like the Jeff Hardy feud. Instead, he was the new leader of Nexus or whatever.
Yeah, I wonder what they were, where they were going for with that, the whole him and Nexus and all that kind of thing. I was kind of curious as to where they were going with that. And you know what's funny? WrestleMania 26. And I kind of feel bad for Sean because I feel like Sean was so forgotten, his retiring and everything in that stretch, because that show was just so forgettable. If you take away the Triple A, the Sean Taker sequel at WrestleMania 26, what is really memorable about that show? Absolutely nothing. I mean, Cena Batista was Edge Jericho was Bret Vince was a friggin' mess. Triple H had a forgettable match with Sheamus. Who the fuck else, right? What was that? Orton and Punk, right? Yeah. I think no. Right.
We can save the WrestleMania 26 rebooking party.
I know. But episode. I mean, that's the problem. When you even the showcase show in that stretch was just so bad. That was the problem. And then the secondary shows were even worse.
Okay. Anyway, you know, the point is we're doing some real fucking interesting headlines episodes during that point. And it's funny, too, yes. Because if you think about it, one of the guys who is like a Wrestler of the Year candidate for 2016 was also the big Asshole of the Week winner week in and week out, and that was Matt Hardy.
Yes, it was.
To me, I think is one of the best stories in the time that we've done this podcast in wrestling is the resurgence of Matt Hardy, just his low when we were doing those headline shows, just drunk driving and, you know, acting belligerent and barely hanging on. And now, as you know, going to be a father of two, has a happy marriage, pretty much just runs TNA, making big bank on the indies, hanging out with his brother. You know, he really turned the corner and refound himself, rededicated himself, and has done a hell of a job. So it's, you know, it's really cool to have seen that. And I think one of the other big stories, if I had to nail one in the wrestling industry, is just the development of what WWE was in 2011 to now, I think is one of the biggest changes in a long time, excuse me, over like a 5 or 6 year period between the network, creating NXT into what it is, really focusing on embracing the indie talent, embracing on finally building up a developmental system. Something that Jim Ross had talked about, you know, as far back as like the mid 90s in his Ross Report columns and everything, how they need to be developing talent. And it was just not for a while. So I think the growth of WWE and as a whole, the globalization of wrestling becoming more and more accessible thanks to social media and thanks to YouTube and, you know, streaming services is, it's really amazing how much has changed. Like in so many ways, just what we were just talking about, that early 11 stretch in some of those headlines, it feels like the Stone Age in wrestling, doesn't it?
Chad? It definitely did. Absolutely.
I mean, you're a guy that's pretty in touch with, you know, wrestling Twitter and wrestling social media and the indies and international. Like it seems like it was just another generation ago, 6 years.
Yeah. It feels like a period that doesn't get any revision and, you know, didn't really feel that hot at that time. I mean, that, you know, from a technology standpoint, that was a transition too,
mm-hmm.
where Twitter was becoming more prominent and message boards were, you know, still, I guess, probably your predominant way of interacting, but
right.
You had these Facebook groups starting to pop up and stuff like that. So it was a transition time in that regard as well.
And DVDs were still pretty big, but not the only way to get wrestling anymore. You know what I mean? It was kind of, you were starting to get more and more like downloading and torrenting and stuff.
Yep. YouTube was becoming, you know, kind of, I mean, YouTube really, I think, is one of the things that you look at from like 2006 to 2011, YouTube became obscure to now.
Right.
I mean, you think about like now, I mean, my 2-year-old uses YouTube, knows how to navigate it. So there you go.
And even like WWE.com started doing the classics, the 20, you know, 24/7 classics or whatever it was called, on the website, which was kind of the first major, in a way, streaming service. I mean, they had on demand, but that was to me one of the first like internet available where a major company was doing it. I don't remember when TNA started doing their kind of online vault, but I feel like it was after that. So it was, it's been a weird 6 years as far as the growth of wrestling goes, but it's cool. It's always cool to sit back and reminisce. Why don't we do this, guys? Why don't we take a break? We're going to let Chad go. And, Scott, when we come back, we're going to bring in Matt Rotella, of course, one of our very first guests here on the show. We're going to see what's going on in his life. Always a fun time. Mm-hmm. And then we'll wrap things up. Chad, yeah. thanks right. for joining us. Do you want to give us one?
Yeah.
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
Let me give you guys the rub a little bit. I'll just say, I think one of the things that has made your podcast sustain for 6 years is the authenticity that both of you guys bring. I mean, you know, through the triumphs and the heartbreaks, we know it through you guys. I mean, we know about Justin, you know, your kid's birth and new houses and stuff like that, and Scott, milestones in your life, and as well as like the loss of your father, Scott. I mean, you really allow us to get a piece of your everyday life. And as somebody that knows you, you know, outside the podcast, that has daily interactions with you guys, I can tell you, you know, the Scott and Justin you get on the podcast is 100% the Scott and Justin you get outside the podcast. And I think that really shines through. So here's to many 6 more years of this.
Oh, God. No, but if Scott
lives that long.
Yes, if he lives.
Well, I've lived this long now. I mean, podcast. I invented me and AGB there, Mr. Bell, when we were putting the telephone together. I'm like, you know what?
He was reviewing WrestleMania 3 in 1793.
We were Hack and Schmidt and Gotch, and Chad was trashing the work rate. So.
thank you, Chad. Those are very kind words.
Much
appreciated. And we try and bring that bit of realism. And I've seen criticisms of other podcasts where they say, oh, it takes so long to get into the show. And, you know, we've always tried to add that and make that open personal and bring in, you know, one of our big goals when we started the show was to make a family of our listeners. And I feel like we've really done that where we all know each other on a personal level to an extent. And talk about stuff outside of just wrestling. So that was a big goal of ours, and I think that's where we've been perhaps most successful with this whole thing. So, all right, Chad, quickly, what's your favorite episode of all time, Place to Be Podcast?
Oh, I think my favorite episode of all time, I think the vaults are like your calling cards if you had to pick one thing, and probably the number one vault is probably WrestleMania 17. I think that was just like a seminal moment that was, you know, when PTBN was up and running, so we had an excitement there. You kind of changed your format a little bit. We're going back and rewatching stuff more frequently, and both of you guys are on point. You know, a long episode, but well deserved, and a lot of good insight there.
So it's not the WCF episode.
No, it's not the WCF episode.
All right, Charlie Criscola from Norwich, Connecticut. Thank you for joining us. We'll catch you on Letters from Kayfabe, and we'll also catch you where the big boys play, and of course this new project you're working on here as well, this 2000s rewatch. We look forward to some stuff coming from that, but why don't we take a break, Scott? We'll be right back with the silverback himself. No keys, push to start. Yeah, you know what it is. Everything I do it big. Yeah, screaming that's done. When I pulled off the line, that's done. Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Voice of Ring of Honor's Kevin Kelly here. I just want to make sure you're all subscribed to all of our great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. Now, it's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search for and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Feed, Place to Be Nation Pop Feed, Pro Wrestling Only Feed, and, of course, the Kevin Kelly Show Feed, which includes the full archives of my podcast. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And of course, as always, enjoy all the great action of Ring of Honor Wrestling and everything presented to you on PlaceToBeNation.com. Place to Be Nation's JT Rizzero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com, and we offer them to you across two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscola and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with the smash hit Clotheslines and Headlines, our steady veteran main event, and the beloved monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on all pro wrestling super shows. Relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the always contentious Dangerous Alliance podcast, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW.
On our very popular Place of the Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Rank and File, NBA Team, Lucha Undead, Geek and Sassy, and a veritable podcast heaven for comic fans with Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversation, and Imaginary Stories. Subscribe to both of those feeds on iTunes and rate and leave feedback for us as well. All of these shows plus others available at PlaceNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free Place to Be Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on the right-hand side of our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
The PWO PTBN feed has changed its name, now known simply as Pro Wrestling Only, so it should be easier to find and indeed to say. All of your favorite shows are still here, including Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Kayfabe, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, This Week in Wrestling, and many, many more, including our full archives of tremendous content. So make sure you subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only feed today.
That is fine. No, we're not. Of course you had to play that. Grey Goose. Grey Goose. There's not many on.
All right, we are back from break. Hope everyone's enjoying our sixth birthday celebration here. We heard Chad Campbell's thoughts and memories and went down memory lane as far as the world of wrestling and sports. Everything. Talked about what things have changed since we first came on the air in 2011. And Scott, with our next guest, much has changed, but much also remains the same.
Yeah. She almost got torpedoed because of him.
Yeah, including his skin to hair ratio, which is pretty much identical to what it was in February 11 when he made his debut here on the Place to Be podcast. And that is, they call him the Silverback, as Jordan Duncan said in the Christmas special. And that is Mr. Matthew Rotella. Matthew, how are you?
No, we're not. No, we're not. That is fine. Of course you had to play that.
I'm doing good. I didn't get my theme song?
No theme song. Well, yeah, you do get a theme song. It's going to be laid in under this. You're always breaking kayfabe on the show.
No,
you're in TV. You would understand there's like editing that goes on, right? I mean, you got that? You're actually you're in the fucking business. All right, so how are you, sir? It's been a while.
I'm doing good.
All right. Do you remember when you first joined us? What the episode was? The first time.
Wasn't it WrestleMania 2?
Au contraire, Harry Francois. You had joined that episode on February 22nd, 2011. But the episode before you actually joined us as well, episode 4 on February 16th, was the headlines. We talked about The Rock's return. We talked about Elimination Chamber and paid tribute to Seinfeld legend. You remember who?
Uncle, what's his face, right?
Uncle Leo.
Yes. Uncle Leo, yes.
Uncle Leo just passed away. And we also talked about Albert Pujols and the Cardinals, the ongoing issues with them. So there you go. And you made many appearances since, mainly on the holiday episodes where you play lots of fun characters, right?
Usually.
Okay. So how are you doing in general now? Of course, you have one child. And I remember, you know, the year we started this show, 2011, we had you on to talk about your impending nuptials. We talked about the honeymoon. We had you on when you were going to have your first child. And now here we are, just months away from baby number two. So how are things going as far as being a dad the first time? And how are you looking forward to number two?
Being a dad has always been challenging, as you know. Mm-hmm. But it's been a lot of fun. I love my son to death. I can't wait for whether my son or daughter. I don't know what the sex is going to be.
It's fine. You're still waiting for that, but you as well. So,
I I can't wait for him or her to come.
All right. Now you you recently spent the week in Disneyland, right? Or Disney World, I should say.
Yes.
Okay. So funny anecdote. I actually ran into your parents at the Friars game a few weeks ago, and we were talking about your trip, and they were saying how impressed they were with your son, how easygoing he was with all the characters, and he said that you know, even like Beast or Beauty and the Beast, he went right up to and had no problem. And I said, well, that's, you know, that's clearly the reason why is because he lives with the Beast. You know, the resemblance is uncanny. And I popped your dad. I made him laugh right in the middle of the dunk by comparing you to the ugly, hairy Beast from Beauty and the Beast.
Well, I can see where you can make the distinction. make the mistake, I guess you could say.
The mistake. I'd say it's a comparison, not really a mistake. How's work, Ben, as well?
Work is good. Not much has changed.
Now, if you had to sit Scott down for like a peer-to-peer review at work, what grade would you give him?
Honestly, or do you want me to give you the...
I want an honest assessment of Scott's work.
Oh, he's a piece of crap. Hmm. he's awesome.
Oh, okay. Scott, how about if you had a critique Matt's day-to-day work ethic?
Incomplete. We haven't figured it out yet. Okay. We're both pretty high in the food chain in our department because our two clients have been there longer than anybody. So we
tells you what state that company's in. That you two fucking guys are running the ship over high up the food chain.
Well, A&E doesn't count. A&E is actually moving up to our floor, which means we're gonna have a disgusting fucking bathrooms and a bunch of Cro-Magnons walking around our hallways. And we hope they were banished to the fourth floor, but unfortunately, no, they will not be. So, well, clients have left lately. A couple of forgettable clients went out of business. But as long as A&E's there, we're all in pretty good shape.
Is the hotel network still going?
No, hotel is gone. Oh. Hotel network's gone. Who else would?
Does it exist anymore, the hotel network? Is that even a thing anymore?
I don't think it is. I could be wrong, but
I think they went under. They were supposed to move, but I guarantee you they're not there. I'm going to look them up real quick. But I think they're gone.
Penn and Access are long gone too.
Okay. Oh yeah, Penn and Access, huh?
So Matt, now do you have any aspirations beyond this career that you have going on here? Is this something that affords you financially and time off and flexibility to live your life as a father of two?
Well, the hours are definitely what I want.
Yeah.
I'm not sure to say if this will be what my whole career is going to be. I could never say that's going to be my last job.
What are we on an infomercial?
I'm just curious.
So if you're not, though, we've got this exciting Vegematic.
See, what I like to do with Matt Rotella is I ask questions here and there about aspects of his life until I come across one that allows us to dive deeper. Do you understand? That's how we do. We go through and we find something that we hit gold on, and that's what we're doing, Scott. We're just a soft probe right now, trying to find something that we can delve into. So we've touched on work, we've touched on fatherhood. How's the wife treating you? Okay, you happy with your marriage?
I'm always there.
She's never going to listen to this.
We're not recording. That's true. She's not going to listen. Yeah, but she might be listening to his answer.
Yeah. Well, let's just say Al Bundy jokes are getting funnier and funnier every day, but. If you watch Married with Children, you probably know what I'm talking about. But no, she's making me very happy.
So. You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I told you on your wedding day, and I'll tell you again, I'm there to drive you to Mexico if you want.
August 16th, 2010, I just found an article. I guess Fox bought Hotel Networks.
There you go.
So they must, but that's 6 years ago. That, I don't know if they're still, they may be going.
Now, Matt, when's this baby due?
April 24th.
So now that's just about a month out from your Memorial Day party. You going to have that party still, that event?
It's up in the air. It all depends. Mm. Right now, how the baby's doing. Mm-hmm. We want to do it, but we can't really commit to it at the moment.
You don't have to commit. I just want to let you know that those are the types of things. You miss one, and sometimes you lose the momentum of the crowd. You know what I mean? Like that's everyone's kind of bought into coming to your house now on that Saturday. You know, you miss one, all of a sudden it's okay. You know, it's hard to get back in the groove.
Chances are we're going to do it. It's just obviously with a new baby coming around, never know what's going to happen.
Well, you got grandparents; they'll help you out.
I know that, but there could be other stuff. You never know.
What other stuff? What do you got going on?
Well, you never know how baby's going to be. So
okay. You looking into hiring like a nanny or anything?
No, her mom stays with us, could be staying with us full time pretty much starting September again.
Mm-hmm. Is she going to plan to leave, or that's it, just for good?
No, she's only here 5 days a week.
Only 5 days a week. Okay, I'm sorry.
I mean, like a full-time job, like sort of that situation.
Oh, okay. So she sleeps over 5 days a week?
Yeah, she'll be here Monday through Friday. Like right now, she's only here 3 days a week because I went to daycare 2 days a week.
Okay, so she's going to come in on like a Monday morning, or she come in on a Sunday night?
Usually Monday morning, unless there's going to be snow Monday mornings in the winter. Okay. Then she'll come in Sunday night.
And how far away do they live?
They're about an hour or so. Uh-huh. They're right outside of Hartford.
Have they considered moving closer to shorten the commute, or had the need to stay over?
No. I could never see her father moving out of that house.
Oh, okay. Have you considered moving?
No. That hasn't been an option yet.
Okay. How is life with your mother-in-law living with you?
It's pretty easy for me. She's not one to really say anything to me.
No, she's a man. Like,
as far as like, if she wants something, if we think something should be done or something like that, she'll talk more to Krista, though at times that has become sort of like a arguing point.
Okay. I mean, I can't blame her for not wanting to talk to you. Is there any ever any temptation there with you? You know, you stumble in after a couple of drinks in the basement, come up. See the mother-in-law on the pool table. Little Mrs. Robinson.
Oh, God.
Does he sound like Sapphire with the jug of wine?
Little,
oh, my God!
Little Stifler's mom.
As I said, I'd rather come up and see Balls Mahoney play like
If you had to sleep with your mother-in-law, Scott, who? No, I'm looking. So,
because I know what it is, and it's not his mother-in-law. So.
Okay, well, that's good. There's no temptation. Would you fear getting a nanny? Because would you fear that temptation would exist there?
An au pair?
No. No. We can't afford that either, so no.
Well, say you could. I mean, you know, is that something you'd fear on that level?
No. No fear of that stuff.
Really? Because I've seen you in the club. You're quite the Mac when it comes to that kind of stuff.
It's true.
I once was trying to time.
Say it again. Scott's singing over you.
I was once upon a time.
Oh, okay. Now, so you're not a Mac anymore? Your Mac status is gone?
I'm Mac whipped, I guess you could say.
No, you are Mac whipped.
He's Mac cheese.
You know, Mike Garnett's getting married. If he has a bachelor party, am I going to be able to get you down here for it?
I will definitely attempt to. I have Scott Delafay's bachelor party, too, at some point.
Oh, nice. Very nice. Okay. Well, that'll be good.
That's not gonna
I just want to get you back out into, you know, out in the wild a little bit.
Let me know what it is. I'll see if I can make it roll.
All right. I'm going to try and get a hold of them, and I'll let you know. I mean, all these guys, you went to their, you know, they came to yours, or, you know, Charlie, he's getting remarried, so he might be having one. So we'll see. I'll have to get you back. I don't think we'll be going to Vegas again, but we'll see if what's going on. I'll try and get you on the horse again.
Maybe this time he'll wear a 7XL polo shirt to take up the entire screen.
Great times. What do you think of these Friars, Matt?
Well, I think they've definitely been playing a lot better lately. There's one thing you can say about Cooley teams. They always fight. They might not have the most talent that they've had in the past. Like, they don't have $1,000 Bentel or Dunn. But they are they're fighters.
What do you think of their prospects for next year? Because I mean, this year is more about the kids playing, and maybe, you know, try to get the NIT or something. But I think next year they're going to be set up well. No one's leaving. They're bringing a couple big guys.
I think they're going to be set up well. They just have to find someone to be more of a consistent scorer. Each night, you never know who's going to be the leader. Bullock. You thought Bullock was going to be at the beginning of the year, then he kind of goes off again. Now he's seemingly back in it again.
I was comparing him the other night to Jeff McDermott, a guy that has tons of talent, but always seemed to be asleep at times out there.
Yeah. I think he's a lot more talent than McDermott does, ever did. I think he has more potential to be more of a star player. He just needs to grasp that. And Cartwright's finally becoming the more the season goes on, the better he's getting.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Are you going to make it home for any game soon?
Well, I'm going to be at the Big East tournament again.
Yeah, that wasn't the question. I said you're going to make it home for any game soon.
Well, I know that. I probably won't be able to get to any more PC games this year, unfortunately.
What a waste. What do you think of the Super Bowl? You think the Patriots are going to pull this out?
I hope so. I think it's going to be a tough challenge. Might be more of a slugfest than anything, but...
Yeah, you think one of these teams is going to hit the shock wall?
Well, either one of these teams can win it, obviously. No one's going to feel bad if the Patriots lose. I understand that, so...
That's great analysis, John Madden. So I think either team has a chance to win this game, Scott.
Yes, exactly.
So
I'm giving the Phil Sims one.
All right. Anything else you want to share with us before we let you go?
Anything else you want to know?
No, typical question. All right. You know what? We're gonna let you go with this. We've been going back in time to 2011 when we launched the show. What was going on? Sports, wrestling. So since you're here, since you're the movie Svengali here. These were the top movies that were released on February 11th, 2011. You ready? Tell me if you saw any of these. These were movies that made money, that made over $1 million. Let's see. Did you see Cedar Rapids?
Nope.
That made $6 million that weekend, opening weekend.
It's going to be like the Joseph Stone episode.
Yes. No. Did you see The Eagle?
I did not, no.
That made $19.4 million. Oh, God. Figures this would torpedo. This movie made $99 million its opening weekend. You had to have seen this. Gnomeo and Juliet. Are the yard gnome, Gnomeo and Juliet. And then finally.
I did not see it.
And then finally, this movie made $103 million its opening weekend.
Was it Balls Deep? Because we definitely saw that in Vegas. The movie. The movie, right? Wasn't the name of the movie? The tennis movie?
Oh, God, what was that? I forgot about that.
It was called Balls Deep, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. The movie that made $103 million was Just Go With It.
I haven't seen that either.
And I'm typing Balls Deep on Wikipedia.
Typing in the search browser, see what comes up.
Balls Deep. There was a TV series, Balls Deep. There's an album, Balls Deep.
It came out in 2004. Hang on one sec. No, that's not it. That's a different one.
Balls Deep was the second album from the Portsmouth, New Hampshire hard rock band Scissor Fight.
Was Sid in that?
Yeah, it was called Sid versus Arn.
Oh, Balls Out, not Balls Deep. Balls Out, Gary the Tennis Coach, 2009. It was Stifler was in that, Randy Quaid. A high school janitor has now recovered from his failed career as a tennis pro, begins coaching his beloved sport to a group of misfits, leads him to the Nebraska State Championships. There you go. That's the movie we watched for some reason in the hotel room in Vegas.
Well, here's the real question, Justin. What did you say about my shirt?
We'll never know. In the moment, it was one of the funniest things known to man, but I will never know what it was. I just know we were in tears, as are our listeners. All right, so why don't we let you go, Matt? Thank you so much for joining, as always. Thank you for being the comedic punching bag that you often are here on the Place to Be podcast. It's one of my favorite running gags. We'll keep the kayfabe alive that everyone thinks we hate you. And, of course, you are still one of the few people, if not the only person, to receive hate mail and threats for when you're on the show. And we recently had a tweet at us about we better not have you on since we're rebooting these old pay-per-views. I mean, that's the hate runs deep still from that many years ago. So there
just
you
stay
go.
Away from the Robitussin.
They hate you because they ain't you, Matt Rotella. All right, thanks for joining us. Good luck with everything. We'll talk to you soon. There you go. Nothing can sum it up better than
outro.
That. Nothing can sum it up better than that.
Hello, it's me.
If you're having podcast problems, I feel bad for you, son. I've got 99 problems, but Richer ain't one. I've got the podcast patrol on that flash patrol. One foe in West Warwick wants my casket closed.
Do you actually need a camera for Tout, or is it like part of the program, or do you actually need like do you need a camera, or is it part of the program?
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the nation, a shitstorm was brewing right before Scott's vacation.
6 Backstreet Boys,
5 golden rings
of honor,
4 dirty marks.
Show me that smile again. Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near the end. The best is ready to begin.
Too great geek.
What kind of disgusting, despicable.
He's an asshole.
Who the fuck is this asshole?
You're all a bunch of fucking assholes.
Do you know who I am?
At grade A, genuine, authentic asshole.
Hey there, PTB Nation. It is now time for the greatest segment in podcast history. You know what I'm talking about. It is time now for the PTB's Asshole of the Week.
You're an asshole tonight.
I wonder if she can tell I'm hard right now. Baby, when we're grinding, I get so excited. Oh, how I like it. I try, but I can't fight it. Oh, you're dancing real close. Cause it's real, real slow.
I don't know!
Big man, Scott!
No, I mean a great friend. He's a doctor. Come on in, Doc.
Uptown girl, she's been living in... Hey, everyone, glad to meet you.
Dr. G, this is Rotella.
Oh, Scott told me all about you. You're the silverback.
And this is Armento.
I never get lines in these things. Tell me more. Tell me more. How can I be a knight?
Always a good time to have Mr. Rotella here, of course. And it's not a birthday celebration without him.
No.
So, Scott, we are quite a ways away from episode 500, of course. Our schedule has slowed down quite a bit. In the past, these year anniversaries kind of almost fell right in line with our, 100th anniversaries.
Yes. Yep.
But it'll be a while before we get to 500. Maybe by year end. I'm not sure.
No, 60, what?
Oh, no, not even close to that. Next year, probably sometime.
Yeah, 63 episodes.
Yeah, so probably spring of next year, maybe we'll close in unless we pick the pace up. But we're gonna have to keep chugging along. One a week. I think we breathed some life back in the show by going back to 1985 and revisiting some of these pay-per-views that we did early on 6 years ago. That weren't really up to our standard of audio quality and of analysis. And I think adding in a lot of the context with the house shows that we're doing, with watching the TNT, so the Network Adventure, I think all that stuff has helped make those shows much more robust. I think we have a really good group of people to pull from as well to help us add some perspective, like we had Parf last week.
Yep.
Or a few weeks ago, I should say. So, again, stuff like that is always, helps us keep going and mixing things up and keeping things fresh. And we appreciate the feedback that you guys bring to us each and every week, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or iTunes, if you can go on there and rate us as well. So we appreciate all that feedback. Anything else, Scott, you want to cover from kind of a history point of view or just anything about the show?
Well, I mean, it's been a great 6 years, JR, and I hope I hope that we continue on, and I think we are. I love the house shows. I mean, I'm having a blast. Really getting back into our wheelhouse. As we talked about with Chad, 2007 and 2008 would have been okay. I mean, there were some decent moments in those 2 years of pay-per-views, but once we get to, like I said, 09 and 10, I mean, we'll get to them eventually, I'm sure, sometime. But it would have just been more probably parlor tricks and goofy TV show jokes to kind of carry us through some of those shows. So we wanted to get back to the meat and potatoes and get back to actual wrestling, which is what we do best. And, we're up to, what, June, I think, now? So we got a bunch of house shows coming up.
August.
August. Oh, my God. Yeah, you're right. We're so far ahead. So, it's just been a blast. I'm looking forward to moving along and getting into... Because it's not, I mean, like I said, I think we've learned the most from when we did, WrestleMania 1, and then we went right to the Wrestling Classic. But so much happened in those months in between. It's fun.
I don't think we even did the Classic. I mean, when we first did them, we went from 1 to 2.
Yeah.
So much stuff happened that you missed that we have no analysis. And even beyond that, just the build up to 1 made 1 so much better to watch and talk about this time that we had seen all the build and hype and it wasn't just a show to us anymore. But yeah, even that 85 to 86, we're going to see so much stuff that we never had talked about because just whatever. I mean, it's a year's worth of material.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked about the forgotten epic Hogan Morocco feud there at the Garden that gets talked about. So
even the US Express, their run, we saw them once at Mania and then we never talked about them again, really. So we've got to see more of them.
Yep.
Bruno's return, stuff like that. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff that we had never touched on.
Absolutely.
More of the Andre Heenan feud with Stud and Patera. So a lot of cool things that, that we've talked about that we had never really done.
Exactly, exactly. So before we say farewell, here was the Billboard Top 10, which was released the day after, in between episodes 1 and 2. So this is this was released February 12th, 2011. You'll recognize some of these, JR. Number 10 was "Who We Are, Who We Are" by Keisha.
Kesha,
I mean. I like Keisha. Number 9.
Keisha's driving around in her Escalade.
That's right, yes. Number 9, Far East Movement featuring Ryan Tedder with Rocketeer. Number 8 was "Hold It Against Me" by Britney Spears. Number 7 was Pitbull featuring T-Pain with "Hey Baby, Drop It to the Floor." We say that to Rotella sometimes. Number 6 was "What's My Name" by Rihanna featuring Drake. A lot of featurings this week. Number 5 was "Tonight I'm Loving You" by Enrique Iglesias featuring Ludacris and DJ Frank E. Number 4, probably used about 14 times in the first 35 episodes of the Place Be podcast. Little Wiz Khalifa, "Black and Yellow."
Yes, it was definitely used many, many times.
Black and Yellow. I literally feel like at one point, I think he used it like 4 straight shows.
Uh-huh.
It's so fantastic. And number 3, "Firework" by Katy Perry. Number 2, "Fucking Perfect" by Pink. And the number 1 song that week was "Grenade" by Bruno Mars, which was never used. Which was never used as a bed. So there you go.
You know, it's funny because I feel like this is a shit time. I mean, those movies you mentioned all sucks. The songs, there's like a couple of decent ones on this list.
Yeah.
Wrestling was I mean, what a weird year early 2011 was. definitely a different time overall. And if you do want to see some of the music that we did play over the years, there's actually, if you go to the index on PlaceToBeNation.com and search like playlist, I think, or Place to Be Podcast playlist, we have a list. It's fairly up to date. It's a little behind, but of all the ins and outs of every episode. So if you're ever mm-hmm. curious of the music we've used as beds, you can hop on there and check that out. PlaceToBeNation.com has everything for you. Again, that was, you know, born out of, you know, what we built here, Scott, over the course of 2.5 years before that came to be on the podcast. But if you go to the index of PlaceToBeNation.com, it is fully updated with every podcast and every article we've ever done on the site. So it's a cool tool and a cool resource to check out. Mm-hmm. So when are we going to wrap things up, Scott? We'll be back next week. We're going to be looking at the August 85 MSG show. We will tentatively right now, we're going to have a special guest with us. We'll talk about that when he's here next week. But I want to thank you for your hard work and dedication over the past 6 years. Again, without your leadership in those early days, I'm not sure how far we make it. It's been a lot of fun. We've had our challenges. We've had our interesting moments. We've mm-hmm. had a lot of cool guests, people I never thought we'd ever have talked to in my life. We've had conversations with. We've made tons and tons of friends to the point where, yet again, we're going to Orlando for WrestleMania this year. We're going to have a huge group, a big tailgate, stuff I never really thought would happen. You know, and the wrestling landscape, thanks to social media, has gotten to that point. But again, I feel like that's another thing we were early in on when it came to the social media aspect. Like Chad mentioned, message board groups are pretty prevalent, but I feel like we were one of the first groups to really start doing like fan-led meetups, not mm-hmm. part of like a conglomerate or not a wrestler-led or like a personality-led, even like the Laws, like a radio station. You know, like I feel like we were one of the first kind of fan groups to really organize something like that during this modern era of social wrestling fandom. So that's kind of the thing I've always been most proud of when it comes to this show. But again, thanks to you, it's been a great 6 years. Look forward to one or two more, maybe, but we'll see. And of course, many, many more episodes. 437 is a pretty crazy number when you really look at it, you know, and you go through and think of all the episodes and all the hours of audio we've produced. And it's still fun to do. Like, I still look, especially with this reboot into 85, like, I still really look forward to doing them.
Yeah, absolutely. And JR, you were the cutting edge for us in the beginning. I mean, you did the best you could with all the, you know, putting the phone to the mic and all that kind of stuff and talking into your MacBook and all that kind of. And now you got us all on the editing bandwagon. And I love editing my show, Place B Nation's Main Event, which just turned 3 years old a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I never thought that as good as our show was, we were able to break off. And we did, you did the Kevin Kelly show, I did Main Event, and now look at the shows we have now. It's amazing what those first couple of shows, which were, I mean, they were so rudimentary, would lead to now, you know? And it was all because people just love listening to wrestling, and we're so, You know, we've always gotten along. I mean, like I said, we have never had to cast a lot of people out. You know, everybody seems to get along so well, and I've always credited you for that. You're like the you're kind of like our social Pied Piper, where you kind of the ringleader of getting everybody together. And like I said, you guys are meeting another WrestleMania meetup, and I'm sure we'll have more pay-per-views. I'm sure we'll hopefully cross knock on wood have another SummerSlam meetup this year. So not only do I thank you, but it's been a good run. I mean, my God, it'll be 14 years in August that I walked Jesus. Over to the A&E area when you guys, and I remember the conversation. I thought it was a pay-per-view, but
that's
you were
like
talking
an eighth
about
of your life.
Yes. You know, I was sitting there, you know, back when we had Odetics crates and, yeah. And, Rotella was always,
I still picture it as the same there, by the way. So don't ruin my imagery. Of,
okay.
Of
yeah.
Moment.
No, it's okay. No problem. It's not even close, but, anyway, but, yeah, it's a great run. I've always enjoyed, and again, we've had, you know, ups and downs, our personal lives. And, but, I'd like to think that we do this because, we can all get together and get a, you know, you and I take a couple hours out of our everyday lives to do this, and I hope that and people I'd like to think took time out of their lives while they're doing work or whatever to listen to us, and we've kind of made their lives a little easier, you know, every little bit at a time. So we're not going anywhere. The shows are going to get better.
Jeez, stop making better. Promises. It's like when you said Joe Dombrowski was going to be on every month.
I know the guy's not even. Yeah, I was. A little too high PR there in the course.
Oh,
I don't
Lord.
Think, is the company even around anymore? But in any event, it was an honor and a privilege to always do the show, and we got more to come. God willing, knock on Rotella's woodhead. All right, JR, well, let's exit stage left. Again, we'll see you next. We'll talk next week for mm-hmm. the August
Tuesday
85.
Next week, by the way, we'll
Tuesday next week. Tuesday. Yes, Tuesday next week for the August 85 house show, and we will have a special guest.
I lied. It's not Tuesday. It's Monday. Sorry, mixed up the schedule.
Sometime next week we're going to yes. be here.
It is Monday next week. We'll be here.
Yeah, we'll be here for the yep the August 85 house show, mm-hmm. and look forward to it as always. And there we go. So.
All right. So check out all the other shows. Subscribe to all of our feeds on iTunes. Thank you for allowing us about an hour here of self-indulgence. We try and do it once a year, but that's about it. But we always appreciate you guys sticking with us and listening to the show. And I think it's good for us to ground ourselves every, you know, once or twice a year with these types of shows. And got to remember how far we've come and, you know, acknowledge those that were there in the early days and that have helped us grow along the way. So I think it's always a good thing to do before we get back to the grind. So there you go. 6 years in the book. Happy birthday to you, Scott. Happy anniversary. We'll be
you
back
well.
Next week and next year for number 7, hopefully. So until then, everyone take care. We'll talk to you soon.
We're going to have the Matt Rotella phone interview next year, too. What's he going to say then? Where's
know.
Your wife? I don't know. I'm sleeping on the porch.
I'm running out of shit to ask him.
Show me that smile again. Don't waste another minute on your crying. We're nowhere near the end. The best is ready to begin. Baby.
this way before.
Never felt
yes,
this
I swear
way.
It's the truth, and I hope it.